You may have heard that honeybee populations have been dying out. That's caused problems for orchards and other big crops that depend on the bees for pollination. Sarah Bergman was living in New York when she first learned about honeybee colony collapse, and she wondered, why not rebuild an urban ecosystem that would encourage native pollinators to replace these honeybees? So Bergman came home to Seattle, and she started a project that she calls the Pollinator Pathway. It's a mile-long stretch between Seattle University and a small park in the Madrona neighborhood. For 7 years, Bergman's been transforming parking strips there into little gardens to attract these native pollinators. I met her at a parking strip garden for a little tour.
Right now, you are looking at sword fern, and you're looking at kinnikinick. And over here, we've got some snowberry.
Is that what those sort of green deciduous-y looking things are?
Yes. And then right to the left of them are columbine. That's the native columbine.
So we're standing on Columbia Street, just off the corner of 15th, and this is one link in your pollinator pathway, right?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And this is this idea that you had 8, 10, when exactly did you have this idea?
Probably about 8 years ago.
You were in New York, right?
Mm-hmm.
And what, you were looking at the sidewalk thinking, I wish there were pollinators here?
So I was working at an environmental ad agency, and we were reading about the decline of the honeybee, and they wanted to make a campaign to help the honeybee. And the more I read, the more I realized that the honeybee is actually a symptom of transformation of landscape, and that a better response to the sort of large-scale issue of honeybee decline is actually to begin to make ecological connections and to support all the other pollinators. Uh-huh. And those are the bats, the bees. Those would be native bees, and there's about 20,000 species of them. They don't produce honey or wax. They're quite different than the honeybee, the butterflies, the bats, the birds, etc.
You are a Seattle native, right?
I am.
So you decided probably New York wasn't the place to do this and you needed to come home.
No, I love New York. Seattle is a great place to get projects started. It would have been harder, I think, to convince, first of all, to convince people in New York to do it. And the land space is more challenging in New York. So here it made logical sense.
Where did you start?
I started at 27th and Columbia. And that's, the garden there is definitely experimental. I tried out a lot of plants. And that's been the process, is try the plants out, try out, you know, a number of them, see how they succeed. And then they develop themselves into the plant list.
So how did you get buy-in from, or maybe that's your house, maybe it's not. How did you get buy-in from that first person?
There was a wait list, actually. People were really excited. So it hasn't been very hard. People really like this project. And it's, yeah, mostly it's just been, you know, meeting people as I go through. I mean, it's one of those projects that you're out here long enough, you start meeting the neighborhood, and it's pretty incredible.
I'm talking with Sarah Bergman, and we're standing on 15th and Columbia in central Seattle in front of one of the many parking strips that are part of the pollinator pathway that goes from Seattle University to Nora's Woods at 29th and Columbia. You had this other background as a designer in art, and I'm sort of curious about the other arm of it besides the carting of the compost,
right,
and the choosing of the plants.
The time period we're in the midst of is really quite incredible. We've deeply touched and transformed our planet, and so many people are at work to rebuild and find new futures in terms of ecology. And I think it's an incredibly exciting time to be living in. So a component of this project actually relates back to American history. In 2008, I went and saw an exhibition of Audubon's work. It really ignited me to not only make a landscape plan, but to also think and talk about nature in our time. And to do that, I'm also making a 2-foot by 3-foot book. So it's having a bit of a conversation back with Audubon's time.
I just have to go back to these honeybees.
Yeah.
You're thinking about design, and you're thinking, you know, about on this macro level about this whole thing. But practically speaking, you want to attract the native pollinators, right?
Yeah, this is a project that's actually meant for everything but the honeybee.
You have something much bigger in mind than 1 mile here or 2 miles there.
Yes. I mean, I guess you could say when I said I wanted to work on something bigger than myself, I sort of meant a national plan. And, you know, the idea of creating a national system of design really ignites me. And it's possible. You know, we can begin to not just connect green space to green space, but we can start to think all the way up to the national parks. And it's a way to both support our farming systems as well as all the ecological infrastructure that really holds everything together.
You mentioned that this has ignited a national conversation. So are you making pathways in other cities as well?
I am talking with other cities at this time.
Yeah.
And I think it's really important to see ourselves as an ecological system and, you know, to see our cities as ecologies. And it's not about, you know, just ecology in a city. It's really about seeing the city as a form of ecology and beginning to, much in the same way that, you know, sustainability came as a wave over our society, it, you know, we had an incredible transformation within, like, the built environment, within all of our built systems, that I think we need to see a very similar transformation in ecology.
You must become exhausted or even just mildly despondent sometimes. But what keeps you going?
Oh, I'm so excited about this project. 7 years later, I'm as excited about it as I, you know, was the day I got started. And, you know, it's really just that I'm so interested in these subjects that really pushes me forward. But you're right. I mean, it's you know, I really, in many ways, built this as a gift for my city. And so it would be delightful to see it funded and cared for the long term. If folks are interested in helping, there's so many ways to help. There's planting native plants, which is really key. Learning more and beginning to understand plant relationships for pollinators. So, for example, butterflies usually have two plants. It's not just one. You know, they have a nectar plant and a host plant that they would prefer. And often that can get very specific. And there's actually a ton of wonderful websites, but one that comes to mind is Butterflies and Moths of North America. You can literally put in your zip code, find out what moths and butterflies are in your area, and then you can figure out what plants they prefer and then begin planting for that. So it's, you know, it's a long process, but it's very doable.
Sarah Bergman is the creator of the Pollinator Pathway. She said interested folks can adopt portions of the pathway either as caretakers or funders. You can find out more about that and a link to the website Bergman mentioned, the Butterflies and Moth website. That's at our own website, kuow.org.